Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. My name is Steve Kramer, and I am joined by my co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve. Glad to be here.
Yes, can you believe this is the last show of our season? It's been a whole year, Dorothy. How about that?
That's amazing. Show number 52. Woo!
Wow. Well, listeners, I hope you have enjoyed this year. I know I have. I have learned so much. I feel I'm all the more wise and grounded and humble. It's been a lovely experience. So, Dorothy, you know, we've started almost every show with a quote, and I'm wondering if there's one that has stood out for you this year that has really defined this project and this collaboration.
Well, I would say that it's the quote from Pierre de Chardin: "We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience." And I think that that's a perspective that can get easily lost in everyday life. But it's so profound, and I think it has kind of run through all of our discussions this year and is worth considering yet again.
Yes, indeed. It made me, as I love that quote as well, and we've brought that up many, many times, it makes me almost see our body, this physical body, which experiences the world around us and other human beings and situations, as this interface, right? It's like we've got this body and this mind that serves as this lens through which spirit pours through, but through which we also generate more awareness. And as I look at all of the themes we've had, you know, hope and right speech, right action, compassion, balance, intuition, all of these, to me, they sort of seem like they're aspects of the human experience. And as we get to know them better, that they serve as a bridge to that, to our innate spirituality, our spiritual beingness that's having this human experience. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think of it as, to me, from an esoteric perspective, you know, we are told that all of the bodies that we can see, all those stars we can see out there, we know from experience, our own Earth is a sentient entity. It's a biosphere that can regulate itself and respond. So we have all of this sentience around us, and maybe other places in the universe there are different lessons, but I think that the lesson here is, how do we be a separate, unique being, which is what being in a physical body is all about, and also remember that we are part of this energetic whole. Because when we're discarnate, that's real easy, right? Because when we're just floating out there, we're just part of the energy stream. But when we are coalesced into this physical body, then we're presented with this lesson of how do we function as unique individuals still connected to the whole, not just only separate. And there's a science fiction story that I read a long time ago, Steve. I've never been able to find it since then. But the idea was that people's physical bodies were stored in closets. And when you wanted to have a body, when you wanted to use it, you would open the closet and you walked into the body kind of from the side. And when you were in the body, you had all of these emotional experiences. You got angry, you got irritated, all of this stuff. And when you parked the body and walked out of it, all of that disappeared, which I thought was really interesting, right? that it was the physical experience that was also generating a lot of what we, of that tension and chatter that we have to deal with on the emotional level.
I tend to love Esther Hicks, and she is she created the whole Law of Attraction series, and I love that she always says that life on this planet, it's the cutting edge. She always says it's the cutting edge. It's where it's the energy that creates. We're working with the energy that creates worlds, mm-hmm. and that mm-hmm. humanity's experience here on Earth is so important because it generates the expansion by us using these tools and us having these experiences. We're actually we are. A part, a very important aspect of that expansion of consciousness mm-hmm. itself. And I love that. And I would say that idea of coming into a body in the closet and experiencing all this and then stepping out, maybe so that is indeed a fact, because I like that theory. I think that works mm-hmm. well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's again one of the other dimensions, as we've been talking all year, to remember that what we're learning is not just our own personal learning, but that it's actually a learning of the whole energetic whole. And yes. For me, another way of thinking about it is, so you have this, what I think of as the one life, this huge energetic field, cosmic energetic field. And if it wants to evolve, if it wants to have opportunities to change and learn, then it needs specific experiences. Otherwise, it just is. And so we are part of that experiment. We are part of that experience that contributes to the whole.
And so it makes me want to once again bring up the topics that we've covered this year, because when you think about it, all of those topics really are the wisdom teachings from human beings who have had these experiences time and time again, as the continuity of consciousness, as ageless wisdom calls it, that we are a part of that stream of the continuity of consciousness. So we have learned, we've got tools, right? And mm-hmm. I sort of see we have gone deep each month into ways in which we can provide the one life with the most beneficial change and growth, right? To mm-hmm. create more, generate more light. I love the word enlightenment, to think of generating more light, to be able to hold more light. So mm-hmm. It seemed that energy follows thought is one of the major rules in esoteric, in esoteric studies, in esotericism. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think that's so important. We've said that so much because within that is choice and responsibility. And it is, where is your head in this? What are your thoughts? That as we have got our own minds, right? We've got free will. And so we are a part of this greater whole, but yet we think our own thoughts. We generate our own thoughts. We've got control over them. And so that's where responsibility comes in, right?
Well, and so it's also responsibility for what we feed ourselves mentally to generate those thoughts. You know, do we feast, so to speak, on, you know, horror and anger and destruction? Do we feed ourselves with experiences and awareness of the generosity of others, the things that we have to be grateful for, the positive aspects? Because you're right, whatever we think we can think of it. It kind of goes two directions, right? We pull the energy along with us as we're thinking, and then we close that thought in a way that we can communicate it to others, and so then that's our speech, right? The sound that comes out. And if we're talking about harmlessness, all of that needs to be done in a way that that does not generate harm.
Yeah. It was a wonderful several months there at the beginning where we went from right speech to right action to goodwill to harmlessness because one follows the next. As soon as we say something, it is a belief or an idea that we've clothed, as you say, in voice, and that becomes a force. And then those words, that thought is out there for other people to respond to. And so, you know, we create our own reality by our thoughts as energy follows thought. So we've got to have some wisdom behind it and some awareness as to what is harm, you know, what is right speech. I thought we did a very good job, Dorothy, at really realizing that, man, you might not always realize what's harm and what's not, that it is really pervasive and it is such a wonderful teacher, you know, to just really become aware of harm. What is at its core?
And we had that, remember we had that discussion about phrases that actually have violence embedded in them that we use all the time.
Yeah.
You know, two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
You know, and that there are other ways of expressing the same thought that does not have violence encapsulated in it. And that when we're talking about harmless, being harmless in the world, which is a very, it takes focus, it takes energy to be harmless. We sometimes equate harmlessness with just this kind of passive non-entity, but it actually takes very careful focus and thought. To be harmless, we have to start with being harmless at the thought level, because it's the thought that then entrains the energy that creates whatever is going to happen.
And we sometimes have to retrain ourselves. You know, we sometimes it becomes rote. I think even in that conversation, I said, Dorothy, do you want to take a stab at it?
Yes. See, there was an example, and I let it slip right by.
I bit my tongue. I couldn't believe it. I was talking about how terrible it is to use this violence in your words and said, Dorothy, take a stab at it. Anyway, we're going to go to our first break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Tune into the wisdom of your soul for guidance on living a joyful life. On Soul Wisdom Radio, Wendy will provide inspiration to raise your vibration and connect with your higher self and guides. Learn how to balance your ego and to progress spiritually on Soul Wisdom Radio with Wendy Rose Williams. Visit wendyrosewilliams.com or Transformation Talk Radio to learn more about a healing session with Wendy and her events and publications.
Now you can be a part of one of the most powerful programs to help create a more joyful, loving, abundant, and peaceful world. Every day at 12 noon in any time zone, join millions of other people around the world to spend a few minutes in joy, love, and gratitude. Brought to you by Robert Schoenfeld, host of the Art of Powerful Living Radio. Together, we can raise the vibration of the planet. For more information, visit globalmomentofjoy.com.
The Janice Underwood Show, helping you create the life you want, not the life you tolerate. Tune in each Monday, 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as Janice delves into the Life Creator System and the next step in your spiritual evolution. Janice Underwood is gifted at helping spiritually minded people shift their mindsets to unleash the Creator within. Our souls wish to wake us up. Those of us listening hear the call. Do you? For more information, visit JaniceUnderwood.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Be you plus live your purpose equals joy. That's the motto of Unstuck Joy with Vicki Todd. Vicki believes you were born with gifts that are meant to make the world brighter. Each show will feature an art visioning journal prompt to help you create your way to soul clarity. If you're ready to get unstuck and create more joy, this show is for you.
Tune in the first and third Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit VickiWorldArt.com.
Welcome back, listeners. It's a delight to be with you. Dorothy and I are so grateful that you have lended us your ear. And it's been such a wonderful year. We're doing our year in review of sorts. This is our last show of the season. Just to let you right now, we will be back in May with the third season of Spirit Fire Radio and the second year for this collaboration between Spirit Fire and the School for Esoteric Studies, which is Spirit Fire Radio. So listeners, just want to take a minute and allow both Dorothy and I to tell you about our organizations. I am with Spirit Fire, which is an educational nonprofit, and we educate people on the importance of consciousness and awareness in their everyday lives. We do that through our own meditation practice called the Practice of Living Awareness, as well as online classes and retreats at our retreat center in Western Massachusetts. And you can find out more about our meditation practice. It's free and online. It's happening right now. We're in a brand new round. All of that at spiritfire.com. And Dorothy, always, it has been just such a pleasure to be doing this through Spirit Fire and with the School for Esoteric Studies. So much gratitude for your organization.
Well, it's been our pleasure as well, Steve. We've really enjoyed this collaboration, and we look forward to starting up a new round of collaboration with the radio show in May, in addition to other projects that we have on the go together. And the School for Esoteric Studies, you can find out more about it at esotericstudies.net. It is an educational nonprofit. It focuses on esoteric discipleship training for those who have a spiritual practice that they want to deepen. And we provide the training through meditation, study, and service. And we have a number of initiatives that you might find of interest online, but several years ago we decided to consciously reach out for partners in collaboration, because all too often organizations like ours just do their own thing. And so we have a series of collaborations. You can see on our website, there's a section on intergroup collaboration, and we are absolutely thrilled to have this collaboration with Spirit Fire to bring you Spirit Fire Radio. And I might just comment, Steve, that you know, we referenced a little bit ago the Bright Speech program that we did. Anybody that wants to hear any of our former programs, you can go either to spiritfireradio.com and look in the archives, or you can go to Transformation Talk Radio online and search for Spirit Fire Radio, and you will find the program's archive there as well.
52 of them, huh, Dorothy?
Yes. Once this one is posted, it will be 52. That is absolutely correct. I just wanted to link back to something we were talking about before the break, Steve. You know, we were giving that Pierre de Chardin quote of, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And one aspect of that is to recognize that we are spiritual beings, yes, but what that actually means is we are energetic beings. And we are part of the energy flow of the cosmic energy field that we are part of. And just like a little rock in a stream can disrupt the flow of water, we can either disrupt or contribute to the flow of that energy. We disrupt it when we have distortion within our own energetic channels. And we facilitate it when we keep those energetic links clear. So that clarity is really important, that we take as our responsibility to be as clear and discerning and harmless as possible, and to be able to separate out our personal stuff from not disrupting that ongoing energy flow.
Very well said. And that is where we come to realize and acknowledge that we are spiritual beings, because we are all having this human experience. But it is the joy and the delight and the, you know, just the wondrous quality that life takes on when you realize that indeed you are connected to that greater whole, and that there is a core to you that transcends just these bones. There's an energetic core, you know, that you've got, you're a part of this energetic web, and you're, they matter. They change your reality. They change the reality of other people's lives. You create your own reality, your personal reality. Your personality changes your personal reality. So clarity is so important. And we've got to be clear in body and mind to even access and tap into that knowingness and that experience of being a part of the greater whole. So yes, indeed, clarity is just so important.
And, you know, I'd like to relate that to one of the shows that we did that to me was very meaningful. I found it very helpful. And that was the month that we spent on forgiveness, which happened to coincide with all of the revelations about sexual abuse, sexual Yeah. harassment. And, you know, if we think about the fact that we need this clarity of energetic flow, If I have been hurt, if I am angry about that, what happens is I create this knot in the energy flow. And we talked about the importance of forgiveness as the process that releases that knot of energy. It doesn't mean you have to condone what the other person did. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you have to ever associate with the other person. But it is critically important for our own health, as well as the health of the whole, that we be willing to release that knot of energy. I found those discussions very helpful.
Yes, there were several times that within the year, the news of the day, it seemed, was just fit, just dovetailed with the topic that we were discussing, right speech. It just seemed there was so much talk about fake news and lying, and how right speech leads to wrong speech leads to wrong action, you know. And with mm-hmm. forgiveness, again, yes, it was so beautiful to talk about that process. And we talked about that even last week when we were talking about heart-mind. I found that what really stood out to me within that show was that you've got to get in the process. You know, you've got to get in the flow, that there is a flow and a movement to the universe and its expansion. And when we get in the flow, we start to make those connections to other human beings and actually connections to wisdom itself, that we are a part of this ever-growing, ever-evolving energy field. And it's when we create those knots or we remove ourselves or we sense that someone has moved us through harm done to us out of that flow, that what was important I felt in that month on forgiveness was that it really is a process, a transformative process to get you back into your own alignment, which is necessary so you can become a part of that ever-growing, you know, energetic mm-hmm. that is the one life. And so this idea of doing the work, you know, and you've brought that up, Dorothy, so much this year, right? Which is you got to do something. You just can't sit back and watch, right? Really?
And to me, that brings us to, brings me to compassion, which was another, we had spent a month on compassion, but I think it was also a thread that you know, went through the year. And I'd like to share one of the quotes that we used that month from the Dalai Lama, who said, "Love and compassion are necessities, not luxuries. Without them, humanity cannot survive." And I just, that quote really vibrated for me, that, you know, if we are not compassionate beings, we diminish ourselves and we ultimately fade away, you know, and that compassion involves not only empathizing with others, but responding in some ways, some altruistic response. And so that action, and which has to be guided by wisdom, which is, that's the love wisdom that is our focus of this final month. But that to me is absolutely critical.
Yes, that difference between empathy and compassion came forward. And again, this idea of action being implicit, that it's acting out of compassion that makes the difference. We can understand this concept of compassion, but you've got to put it into practice in everyday life. You've got to, you know, it gives one's life meaning. It gives one's life purpose. And then we're really contributing. Yeah. Balance. We both just got super inspired, right? We've really talked about compassion a lot. Hey, Dorothy, actually, maybe it's a good time to go to a break because we're both going to go right into another idea about compassion. We'll get to those right when we come back.
Winning at the game of money. Lynn Brown is now offering Full Spectrum Finance, a progressive 12-month program that will help you to navigate through the mechanics of financial expansion. Finally, a financial planner who looks at the full spectrum of money and abundance. Engage you in the mental, physical, and energetic aspects of finance. This is Full Spectrum Finance. Are you ready to get into it? For more information, go to fullspectrumfinance.com.
To see your life from an angel's perspective, book a personal consultation with Claire Candy Hoff, angelic walk-in angel Ariel at Angel Healing House. Candy provides intuitive counseling, Reiki, and angel readings in person in Los Angeles or nationally and internationally via phone or Skype. She will channel the practical tools you need to transform your life. Call now, 831-277-3716, or visit angelhealinghouse.com.
Set your intention for 2018 at Spirit Fire's annual New Year's Meditation Retreat. Find yourself at the peaceful Berkshire Mountains of Western Massachusetts this January for a weekend of meditation, amazing food, and planning. Planning to have the most exciting year ever. Visit upcoming events at spiritfire.com for more info. Happy meditating!
Integrate spirituality into your everyday lives on Universe Soul Heart Radio. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Kathleen Johnson explores the concept of sensible spirituality, keeping you grounded, connected, and centered on the path to wholeness. Kathleen has dedicated her life to facilitating holistic healing and wholeness in others. Listen to Universe Soul Heart Radio and learn how to flourish, grow, and impact all we do on planet Earth. For more information, go to universesoulheart.net.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Choose the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to corneliastephanie.com.
Welcome back, listeners. It's great to be with you. While we were on break, Dorothy and I both realized that we both were going to bring up non-duality. What a big topic. What a beautiful topic, right? But it's compassion leads you to consider the other, right? Mm-hmm. And there's this the word conundrum keeps coming up for me today. I don't know why, but it's this idea that there actually is an us and them. And that is the beauty. There is diversity. I do have my own experience as Steve. And that is valuable. It is important. But it is in the sharing and it is in the understanding that all of our experiences together create a better whole. And mm-hmm. So balance, we did a whole month on balance, and it's this idea of this balance of duality and non-duality. You know, how do we balance those two? This idea of what's right for me and what's right for the whole, and balancing that in a harmless, positive way.
Right. And part of the, I just want to mention for our listeners, I do have a published book called Moving Beyond Duality. And the reason why I wrote that book was because my experience and belief is that it is seeing the world as us, them, that is what holds violence in place. So, yes, on a certain level, you're right that there is an us, them, but it's really very narrow, you know, if we think of it that way, because it's a me and many others. Right? When we make it just two, that's when we start to then put labels of better, worse, you know, good, bad, that kind of thing. But it is true that we have our own individual existence and we are connected into a whole. And there is much more complexity in human experience than just a one or the other. So to me, that's one of the real important things that we talked about when we were talking about balance. And I just want to encourage, you know, listeners to be aware of any time that you talk in dualistic terms, you are limiting the way that you are seeing or experiencing the world. It's not an either or scenario. And one of the linguistic tools that we can use is to substitute both and. It's my experience and your experience, Steve, and, you know, and.
Yeah, yeah. It's what makes life exciting, right? To me, that's what makes life wondrous. It's what makes life ever fresh and ever new. It is really realizing that people are different than me. Everybody's experience is completely different than me. And yet at the same time, there's a commonality between where, you know, we all want to feel met. We all want to feel heard. And compassion comes around when I can, I understand the human experience. I've had my own and I understand what you're going through, but yours is different. And where do we come together? So it's the common good, Dorothy. We, you know, you have brought that up quite a bit, goodwill and the common good. I mean, you certainly have spent a lifetime, if I must say, really ensuring that the world is going to be a little bit better place than before you got here. No.
Well, I'd like to share with our listeners a quote from Albert Einstein that I think encapsulates this. He says, "Only a life lived for others is a life worthwhile."
Yeah.
So nice. If I only consider myself, that's a very, very small container. But if I live connected to and thinking about others, that's what makes it worthwhile. There's this classic kind of conundrum that's brought up in different situations. You know, people say, you know, if you see someone, you know, who's drowning, and you might yourself drown in the process of trying to rescue them, would you try to rescue them? And I don't know, maybe I'm naive, but I don't even see how it can be a question. How could I live with myself if I didn't at least try? And it might not be that I would jump in. If I couldn't swim, that wouldn't be the solution, but trying to find some solution that would rescue that other person. How could I not do that? I don't understand how people can stand by and not try to help, because we are all connected. We are all part of this experience.
Right, to take action on some level, which is where discernment comes in, right?
Yes.
If you can't swim, you certainly would not jump in just because you have got to give it your all, but it would not be wise to jump
in. That's right.
Swim.
So you come up with another solution. You see someone with a boat just down the beach.
Yeah.
You get them to take you out. You know, whatever it is, there's got to be some reasonable solution that can be arrived at. And I think that's, you know, when we talk about anything in the arena of spiritual development, we typically focus, I know for the School for Esoteric Studies, we don't just focus on meditation and study. We focus on service. You have to apply what it is that you're learning. You have to apply it for the good of the whole, or it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, yeah. It's also important to just really know what's going on in the world. You know, I just find that we've brought up so many times this idea of the way that modern culture has us, our focus is so tight that we don't have this breadth of what's going on in the world. I know there was such it was a really moving show where we talked about the Bill of Rights. And sometimes when our needs seem to be met, life seems to be pretty good. Goodness, we just forget that there are people out there whose life experience, it wouldn't take much for us to really lend a hand, you know, that we could really help. And so, you know, it's this idea of sometimes action is just informing yourself on where is it necessary? You know, where is help necessary? How could I lend myself? And how could I, you know, what activity would be for the common good that would have meaning in my life? And I think that just simply getting to know the world and what's going on in the world and what's needed out there is so important.
Well, and as one example, and there are many, 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 so I don't mean to imply that this is the only one or the best one or whatever, but just as one example, the initiative that Lawrence O'Donnell and MSNBC have started with UNICEF, it started as KIND, Kids in Need of Death, but it has another component, which is to send girls in Malawi to high school because primary school is free, but secondary school is not. And if a family doesn't have that much money, or even if they don't care, it's the boys that get educated. So only 7% of the girls have a secondary school education, which really limits the possibilities of what they can do. So you can fund a girl for 1 year of education, of 1 year of high school, which includes the tuition, the books, transportation to get to school, room and board to be able to stay there, for $177, which is not that much. And think of the difference that you make in the life of that girl. So there are lots of possibilities like that of just looking around and seeing what can we do. I mean, how many lattes is that, you know, or how many dinners out that we can reach out, and not that we have to deprive ourselves, but that we can share, that we can reach out and do things for other people as well. I want to just take a minute before we have to go to a break to bring in the concept of moral compass, which, because part of how we sense what is going to contribute to the moral compass, to the common good, is through our sense of what is ethical, what is right, what needs to be done, what is the good. And we need to be very careful in this day and age. Each of our thoughts and actions either reinforces our moral compass or shreds our moral compass. And we have, unfortunately, leaders who are not modeling a strong moral compass. So it's even more incumbent on ourselves that we take care with how we spend our energy each day, in terms of what we're reinforcing or not.
And that we pay attention, you know, and take action, because certainly, you know, you can make all the right decisions and you can be proactive and you can make, you know, choices that are good at heart. And yet when you've got leaders that, you know, that do not display a moral compass pointing to higher ground, you know, we all suffer. So, you know, it's not only just that am I establishing a moral compass in my life, but am I taking note when people aren't, and is there action that can turn that around? You know, is there a way that I can participate in a way that's going to make a difference? Because boy, do we see that more and more in this day and age, indeed. And what does that do, Dorothy? It can diminish one's hope.
So
I know hope was a huge topic we spent. That was our second month, and it was just so delightful. We came back to so much of what we talked about that month. So we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, it would be wonderful to end this whole season on a hopeful note. So indulge me in that when we come back, okay?
Absolutely.
The Knowledge Book, currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world, accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the Knowledge Book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on transformationtalkradio.com.
Amber Teal, founder of The Healthy Edge, is bringing you the hit show Healthy Edge Radio, living with power, passion, and purpose. Amber provides the support and tools necessary for you to finally release the weight and emotions that are hidden beneath the weight. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information on how you can take the next step with Amber, visit GetTheHealthyEdge.com.
Isn't it time to put your health first, to give yourself the gift of whole body wellness? What if embracing unconditional love and self-care was the first step to wellness? Could you honor that for yourself? My name is Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio and the author of Rewired Life, A Journey to Untangle Chronic Pain and Endometriosis. In my book, I share how I healed from 17 years of chronic pain and disease. Get your signed copy at audreymichelle.com/book, spelled michelle.com/book.
Tune in to the Psychic Professors Show, The Voices of Spirit Radio, with international medium and spirit artist Dr. Susan Barnes on Transformation Talk Radio. Featuring a variety of spiritual topics such as psychic art, spiritualism, EVP, psychic development, and mediumship. This hit call-in show provides listeners with breakthrough wisdom to enliven and enlighten their lives. Visit spiritartgallery.net.
Tune in each Friday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio.
The truth is funny. Shift Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Welcome back. We are going to continue our wrap-up of this most delightful season of Spirit Fire Radio. And I know, Dorothy, Hope was a really wonderful month for both of us. We really came to some really wonderful conclusions about what is hope? What is it made up of? What does it consist of? And how do we generate it? It was a great month. I have a quote that you found for that month that I wanted to bring forward, which was from Martin Luther King. And he said, we must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. And I love that disappointment is finite, but hope is infinite. And it just also speaks to that energetic nature of our infinite, you know, our infinite selves.
Yes. And I'm going to match that with another quote from that month from Desmond Tutu. Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. You know, and we talked about how hope is comprised of, you know, it's a mental attitude, but it has that optimism in it. But it also has action. You're trying out multiple actions, knowing that although the outcome is uncertain, that there are ways to achieve it, and being open to, you know, trying a variety of things, keeping focused on the goal.
And that's what really came forward to me, was this idea of options. That when you see options in front of you, it naturally generates hope. And as you move forward and try one or try another, it just generates hope. It's natural. It's when you feel you have no options that, you know, hopelessness starts to creep in. So it's just about generating options. And boy, when you look out at the world and you think, as we talk about the diversity, you know, well, there are just as many, there's a diversity of ideas and a diversity of solutions. And it's just a matter of moving, right? Of getting them going and generating that hope from seeing the options. I love that.
Well, yeah. And another takeaway for me of the month was that hope is not just optimism, right? You don't just say, oh, well, I hope this will happen, and then just sit there and wait for the universe to deliver it. If you truly hope for it, then there has to be an action component that you take yourself to bring it about.
Yeah, we had that wonderful moment of like, really, like, I hope I don't fail the test or something.
Right.
And you could feel that there's no hope there at all. It's actually just going, well, it's totally out of my control and it's going to go one way or to the other. And I prefer that it go the better way. But right. That we can't just sit back and observe. And it's what I'm very grateful for you and all that you contributed to this show was so much of that participation. You know, you brought that forward so much this year, Dorothy, which was it's okay. It's really great to understand the observer mind, that's very important to observe. We need to observe, but there's also a time to get in it and start changing things, right?
Thank you, Steve. Well, I think we're a good team. I think we bring different perspectives that are very stimulating and complementary.
Yes. Well, Dorothy, we're pretty much at the end. You know, I was wondering if you have any final thoughts on what you enjoyed about the year or what came forward for you.
Well, I find, first of all, I think, any process of growth depends on having specified times when you stop your regular life and you think about something and you think about it in depth, whether you call it meditation or reflection, whatever. And so for me, the preparation for these weekly shows and then having the time has been very, very meaningful. And I have to say, Steve, talking with you, our conversations are very rich for me. We have, I think, a complementary way of looking at issues, but we also have differences. We demonstrate that diversity between ourselves. I learned so much from each of our shows, and I thank you for that. And I hope that the listeners also learn from both of us.
Yes, wonderful. You know, Dorothy, a word that kept coming up for me as I was thinking, as I was just looking at the list of all of the words, all of the themes that we had this year, was the word grace. And I find the word grace to be one of the most beautiful words. And it's this idea of gracing someone with your presence. You know, I was contemplating what is grace? And I looked up the definition. It says simple elegance or refinement of movement. And I thought, there it is, movement. We talk about that a lot. Or it means to do honor or credit to someone or something by one's presence. And so there's that word again of presence, of being aware, of being here now. And it made me think of alignment. And it made me think of enlightenment again. How do I bring the lightest version, the most full and complete version of myself to another or to another situation? And I just feel like these tools of, you know, generating hope, of minding your speech, of what is right action, and, you know, how can I contribute through goodwill, and what is harm? That was so important, you know, that harmlessness is something that you could strive for every day, and it's not easy. And compassion, discernment, all of these, you know, to embody these processes and to have spent time with them, as you say, brings a certain amount of grace to one's presence. And so I really appreciate that. It's you know, I feel graced by this whole process, and hope that I may offer a bit more grace to any situation or to another human being by having been a part of this process of going deeper into questioning, what is this human experience and what is this spiritual experience? So grace, that's the word that comes forward.
Steve. Very beautifully put.
Wonderful. So listeners, if you would like to go back, if there's some shows that you've missed, spiritfireradio.com has got those links, and Transformation Talk Radio. And who knows, Dorothy, maybe we're going to do a little guest show between now and May. What do you think?
Maybe. That would be great.
Maybe. So I look forward to May. We will be back for another full year for a weekly show, and we will continue on Wednesdays at noon, and look forward to that. And in the time off, I hope you all are doing very well and enjoying spring. And any final words, Dorothy?
Well, just in terms of diversity, that's noon which time?
Oh, look at that. Noon Eastern, right? Am I right? Yeah, right.
That's right. 9 o'clock West Coast time.
Yeah, and so, how beautiful, right? It's so amazing in this day and age that we can be at opposite sides of the continent, and shows that we are totally interconnected, right, Dorothy?
Absolutely. It has been a pleasure and a blessing to do this show with you this past year, Steve. I'm very grateful, and I want to express my gratitude on behalf of the School for Esoteric Studies for this collaboration with Spirit Fire, and to our audience for being with us, and to Justin of Transformation Talk Radio for all of the support that you've given us, Justin.
Yes, Justin, thank you so much. Justin is our producer, and it's been smooth sailing for the whole year. It's been a delight. Well, listeners, we will be back with you in... What is it? 3 months' time for the second season, and it will be Dorothy and I once again representing Spirit Fire and the School for Esoteric Studies. So in the meantime, check us out. Goodness, there's so much wonderful information on both of our organizations. So maybe you'll want to take this time to find out more about Spirit Fire at spiritfire.com and Dorothy, the School for Esoteric Studies at
esotericstudies.net.
Wonderful. There's so much wonderful, juicy information on that website. So listeners, give it a look. And the practice of living awareness, something else you might want to try in our time away. Dorothy, we will be talking in the meantime. And listeners, we will see you again in May.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.